Well, good morning, Columbia Grove. Good to see you. And those of you who are joining us online, good to see you as well. Today is a day that is all about stories, Jesus stories, and ways that God has moved in our lives in the past. And so we're all of the songs today are connected to those stories. So these are songs that you've recommended or just come out of our history. And so this next song, this is one of those kind of defining Columbia Grove songs. It's actually a song that was featured at the very first funeral that was ever held here. Jess Farmer was in his late 90s. That's right. And so you know what song this is. And we were his first church. And he ended up coming to Christ in his later years. And one of the best things about Jess's story is just how many of his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren are now following Christ as a result of those kinds of moments. Isn't that true? So it is never, ever, ever, ever too late to come to Jesus and just respond to the call the moment you hear it. But anyways, let's stand together. This is one I think you're going to like. I think you're going to know, but you got to sing it loud with me, okay? One, two, a one, two, three, four. Now, if you can you do that with me? Come on. Here we go. Some bright morning when it's life is over, I fly away to our home on God's celestial shore. Signature songs of the church is one that is actually based on our missional motto, which is, of course, love like Jesus. That's right. So the chorus of this song, if you don't know it yet, it goes, love, yeah, love, yeah, love like Jesus. Now, just because songs tend to evolve in my head, I wanted to do something with you. So this is where we're going to, it's a little call and response, okay? So I'm going to sing, I'll sing love. I need a few people to say love, and then you go, yeah. Love.
Yeah.
Love.
Yeah.
Love. Then we sing it together. Love like Jesus. All right, we're going to try it one more time. And mic nice and loud so the folks online can hear you, okay? Here we go. And love.
Yeah.
Love.
Yeah.
Love like Jesus. Love.
Yeah.
Love.
Yeah.
Love like you. Think you got it? Yeah, that's right. One, two. Well, hang on. I was about to start it way too fast. Here we go. A one, a two, a one. You can get some of this. Come on.
You gave your life. You took our death. You loved us with your final breath. Yes. You paid our price. Replaced our shame. You are love that can't be tamed. Break our hearts for what breaks yours. Your kingdom is what we're living for. Help us love, love, love like Jesus. Love, love of you, love like you. Oh, help us love, love, love like Jesus. Love, love, love like you. Oh, we were lost, but now we're found. Help us spread your love around.
So, Lord, that is what we pray would be words that not only guide this worship service, that would guide our lives. Lord, help us to love like you. Thank you that you loved first. Thank you that you delight to meet with your people. And so, Lord, we just delight to meet with you today. So, have your way, we pray, in everything that's said and sung and done. Be with us in the stories, Lord, as we just celebrate. We celebrate and remember your good work in our lives. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, hey, man. All right. Hey, have a seat. My name is Andrew. If we haven't met yet, and if we haven't, I hope we do. I'll be hanging out at the back of the church after the service, and so you can move out as fast as you can, but I'm going to try to be there at least to say hi. All right. Anyways, hey, we are in a series called For Wenatchee that is just helping us to remind ourselves that we are a church that is for the Wenatchee Valley. So we have been celebrating some of the nonprofits in the valley that have been making a difference. And so each week on social media, you might have seen different like videos and stuff like that. Well, and many of you have already picked up a t-shirt. I see a bunch of those out there. Well, today is the last day we're going to have the t-shirts out in the foyer. So after this, we're gonna give them away, or we're going to do stuff with them, whatever we're going to do with them. So if you don't have a t-shirt yet, take one. Even if you can't pay for it at all, that is fine. Just take it, do something with it. But because many of you have donated towards those t-shirts, we have several hundred dollars that we're going to be blessing a local nonprofit with. They don't even know that they're about to get a Columbia Grove love bomb, you know, landing on them. So here's what I need you to do. You need to help us decide which one that is. So if you go to columbiagrove.org on your smart little device that you're you're playing video games on right now, you just stop that and you go to columbiagrove.org, and it's going to be the second box on the website that says for Wenatchee Valley, and in there there's a box for an online poll. Let us know. And whatever nonprofit gets the most votes by probably the middle of the day tomorrow is going to get a wonderful surprise thanks to y'all. That makes sense? All right, so you can do that. If you really, really have to, you can write down your favorite one on a connection card, put in one of the offering baskets around the building. That'd be a good place to do it too. But yeah, a smartphone is really great because it saves me from having to do math. I love that. That is awesome. Okay, anyways, we're going to pray for our kids and dismiss them to Children's Church and then just get right back into worship. Lord, we thank you for our kids and we thank you for the life that they are in our church, and God, for the things that you are doing in them. Thank you, God, for the people who are investing in them, their parents, their aunts and uncles, their spiritual parents and spiritual grandmas and grandpas, and thank you so much for grandparenting. What a gift. But Lord, would you bless them today? Bless their teachers. Let these lessons just come alive in their minds. And so as Heather and others like her are investing in the kids today, and Marsha, and we just thank you for her work. God, just use them. Use them in beautiful, beautiful ways. And thank you for these dear kids. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So we're going to greet one another. So take a moment, greet your people around the room. We'll put some social media up on the screen as people are joining in the service from wherever they're joining the service from. And we're going to jump back into singing in a minute or so. Good to see Alice in Florida and Heather in Wenatchee. Thanks for joining us. And there's my bro. Thanks, Eric. Good to see you, buddy. Stories of the last couple of years is how it's just been a tough time. And so one of the stories that that you'll be hearing today is one that's probably pretty familiar to many of us, of how Jesus is bringing us through times of anxiety, times of uncertainty. So this next song reminds us that as we turn to Jesus, our fear doesn't stand a chance. In the light of grace, in the light of the love of God. It doesn't mean we don't ever feel anxiety or feel fear. It just means we've got God there with us in the midst of it. And in the end, that can make all the difference. Sing it together.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken.
Sing it out, church. Come on.
'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, shame no longer has a place to hide. To I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken. Sing it out. Here we go. Because my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I
have a seat as we join together in congregational prayer. And thank you, Kimberly, for coming up to lead us. There's a microphone right there. There you go. Keep trying. Somebody give Ian a poke. Hey, Ian, could you unmute the mic? That's right. Try again.
Hello.
There we go.
Yay! Wow, what a great opening to this fabulous morning. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together to connect as brothers and sisters, to have the freedom to worship you, Lord. Thank you for so many blessings. Lord, we ask for your hand on each one of our speakers today. We pray that their words of struggles, their journeys of joy, their gifts of knowledge they have received from you, Lord. Let their blessings bless the heart that needs to know you're always near. That we anchor deeper in trust in your Lord. And we remember during these trying times, God's got this. He knows the master plan. We lift up our world leaders and let them, we pray that they hear your voice among the struggles of this world. Lord, we lift up the people of Ukraine. We pray for protection for our Covenant Church missionary radio station at New Life Radio in Odessa, Ukraine, as they continue to broadcast Christian radio into Russia. Lord, protect them as the environment around them gets dangerous. Lord, we pray that their words of your love and faithfulness are locked deep in their hearts so that they know you have the master plan. And they find comfort and hope and rest. Lord, we pray for our needs in our community. Comfort those who are lonely, hurting, or sick. We lift up Brant Capel as he continues to recover from heart transplant. Thank you, Lord, that he has been able to come home. also for the Brent family, that as they mourn the passing of Brent's grandfather, Steve. For Ross Holcomb as he recovers from surgery. For Lana Johnson and her family as they grieve the passing of her sister, Barbara. For Angie Arnold as she recovers from illness. For Twyla as the recent passing of her husband. For Shelley, who has recently diagnosed with breast cancer and whose husband's in the final stages of life with cancer. For Jamie Smith and her husband as they pray for a healthy and safe pregnancy. At this time, let's take a minute to lift up our own prayers to God silently or out loud. Lord, we ask you to continue to bless Paul and Andrew. We are so grateful for their gifts you have given them. We as a church are blessed by them daily. We pray for your hand on today's words of wisdom. Guide them, give them courage, and bless them greatly. Amen.
Thank you so much, Kimberly. So today is a day of Jesus stories. These stories of how God has intervened in our lives. And so I've got actually seven people ready to share some testimonies, either of something that happened when Jesus first got a hold of their life, or a God moment, a time where God just really showed up in a powerful way. Or even something maybe more recently, where they've gone through something tough recently and just really found the peace of God there. So I'm hoping that, pray for them as they share, because sharing your story can be kind of scary stuff, and their mean old pastor has asked them to keep it to 4 minutes each. So that's tough. So that's a lot, because there's so much heart and so much story in all of these places, but I just want there to be time for everybody to share. So with that in mind, I'd like to invite my friend and neighbor, Daryl Goodman, up to share a little bit about what happened when he first came to Christ and the difference that it made in his life.
Well, you're just pouring away.
You did. I even came up all the way onto the stage. I appreciate that.
I like that, yeah.
I know. Well, see, if you're in the light, then people can see you better.
I don't
stuff.
Know, but they're... Yeah.
They're not as scary as they look.
I better hurry, huh?
No, you're good. You're good. Okay.
You know, I thought about what to say, and I knew I'd mess it up, so here it goes. Hi, my name is Daryl Goodman. I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict. I was saved when I was 8 years old, and things didn't go so good when I was about 20, 21, somewhere in there. So I did some pretty bad stuff from 20 to 40. But June 3rd, 1989, the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. I don't know how, but he did. I was at a preaching service. Next thing I know, I was face down at the altar praying. And I had drugs on me that day at church. You know, not a good place to have them, but, you know. On my way home, they flew out the window. I've been clean and sober for 33 years. But the most important part of this, it wasn't me, because I tried. It was Jesus. There's a Philippians 4:13 says, I, Daryl, can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I laid on that thing for a lot of years. I smoked. 3 months later, I quit smoking. I replaced drugs with Jesus. And it's been a pretty good role. Been a pretty good role.
That's a good trade.
Yeah. That's a good
yeah,
trade.
Yeah. But if there's somebody out there, I mean, someone on thingy out there, that camera back there, that thinks no one cares about them, I do. I do. Call the church. Get a hold of somebody that can help you. Yeah. I promise. His name is Jesus.
That's right. Now, Daryl, before you step down, I want you to see something. Okay. Who here, when you heard Daryl's story, you would say, I can relate to some part of that story? Just, if you do, just raise your hands high. Look around the room. Okay. That's why you're among friends. Because all around the room are stories of how Jesus, and you can even do a, did you catch the wide shot so you can see that? And Chris will catch that. Will you put your hand up again? Put up your hand up again. Chris, will you do that room shot?
Praise Jesus.
There we go. Hallelujah. Okay, because I want you to know that when we give our lives to Jesus, he changes something on the inside.
He
and
does.
You've experienced that.
He does.
That's
he does.
Right.
Yep.
So thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, for setting Daryl free.
Not I, but Christ.
That's right.
Yep.
Right. All right. Well, let's give him another hand. And I want to invite Ailette Ness to come up. Now, one of the things about at least the first three people that are sharing that really I really am tickled by is these are also people that are part of my seniors ministry team. That they go to and they we serve together at places like Bonaventure or sometimes Avamere and other places like that. So, all right, so let's pull that camera right on back on here. And Ailette, tell us, like, what's the difference that Jesus has made in your life?
Well, I have to, first of all, hi, I'm Ailette Ness, and I have to say that I am one of the fortunate ones, blessed, I would say. Never had problems with drugs or alcohol, broken marriage, been married almost 51 years to the same person. And so my life sounds idyllic, right? Except I have a spirit of fear, of anxiety. I love that last song we just sang, that fear has no hold when the love of God is there. And so years ago, God gave me the scripture from Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with your whole heart and do not lean on your own understanding. I get so frustrated with myself because I have a fear of getting lost when I'm driving. We've lived in the Wenatchee Valley for over 40 years, and I still panic when I have to drive to someplace new. And before we got navigation, you'd find me wandering around, and then panic would set in. And then it was, Lord, please, please, Lord, lead me to there. And you know what? It's right there. Fear of not doing a job good enough. Growing up, I never did anything good enough, even though I had good grades and I graduated from college at the top of my class, and I was never satisfied. My parents were never satisfied. So if you notice my words, I'm saying I a lot. Me, I wasn't, I can't, because I can't. God can. And if I trust in him with my whole heart, not just a little section of it, but the whole heart, and if I don't lean on my own understanding, then I'm doing okay.
Yep. Good word. Who here can relate to some part of Ailette's story? You're like, okay, I struggle with anxiety, fear, and knowing Jesus makes all the difference. Yes. That's right. Thanks for being bold. Thanks for being brave. As you're thanking her and praying for her, I've got her preaching at Bonaventure this afternoon. Just want you to know that. So she's excited about that. Part of my preaching team, seniors ministry. And one of my other developing preachers in the congregation I am so proud of is Barb McCardle. So Barb's going to come up and share some of her story and some of how Jesus has made a difference in her life more recently. So Barb, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Morning, congregation. I am Barb McArdle, and I greet you in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am very excited this morning to share with you as I tell you how the Lord has healed me through an amazing outreach. My husband of 58 years died 3 years ago, and those of you who knew Ray knew how much he loved the Lord. Any chance to teach, preach, witness, Ray was right there. We ministered together at Bonaventure Living, Senior Living Facility for 5 years, and over the years taught many, many, many Bible studies in our home. We were a team. I could pray. I would read scriptures. I would do hugs. Oh, lots of hugs at Bonaventure. And of course, I could put on the coffee and make cookies. But when Ray died, I thought that part of me died also. There was just no way I could carry on Ray's legacy. And as I worked through my grief and time passed, I said, Lord, I need a purpose. I want whatever time I have left to count for something. Show me what you want me to do. And oh boy, he answered that prayer big time. He said, Barb, I want you to forget your past failures, your past successes. I want you to go forward, and I want you to rekindle that passion that you have for the elderly. And then he sent me 5 amazing folks. I spend 4 afternoons a week with 5 different seniors, folks who are dealing with Alzheimer's, blindness, knee replacements, heart problems. They have lived the most amazing lives, and their stories are absolutely great. And I am honored to spend that time with them. I am now back at Bonaventure, and thanks to Andrew's encouragement and his confidence in me, I'm preaching. Andrew reminded me that it wasn't just Ray's legacy, it was our legacy. That's right. And I plan to continue that. So I just thank the Lord every day for the love that he gave Ray and I for the seniors. They are amazing people, and they just bring me so much joy. My prayer for each and every one of you would be that you could find an outreach that would bring you the kind of joy that I've found. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Paul. Song that Barb has been especially meaningful to Barb, and so let's sing it. Let's sing some of this together. First verse and chorus. I bet you know it, or many of you will know it.
What a fellowship! What a joy divine! Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness! What a peace is mine! Leaning on
I'd like to invite Bob Floyd to come up and tell a story of a time that God intervened in his life in a very powerful way.
So when I was in my 20s, I had an opportunity to work at a Covenant Church school in Ecuador. Anyway, the Covenant has 3 schools there, and I taught English in one of those schools. And one day, when we were sort of bored, we said, well, let's go for a drive. Well, where do you go for a drive when you live in the Andes? You go into the mountains. So we had heard that way up at 14,000 feet, which was way above us, there was an abandoned sulfur mine. Well, why would you want to go to an abandoned sulfur mine? Not because of the smell, believe me. It was just something to do. So we hopped in our little Ford Fairlane station wagon with stick shift and headed up on the very, very narrow, windy dirt road to the sulfur mine. Well, it all went pretty well till we got within eyesight of the mine, and I drove through a puddle. And in that puddle, my car got high-centered. If you know what that means, you're stuck. So I said, well, now what do we do? And then I thought, as Andrew did when he experienced the money coming from the machine, that maybe there's some way we could get out of this. So we got out of the car. Again, this is at 14,000 feet. Nobody anywhere. So I said, well, this is a pickle. And then I turned around, and there were two young Ecuadorian men. I don't know where they came from. They didn't even have coats on, and this is cold. So they jacked up the car, and I got in it, and they pushed the car forward to the point where I could actually drive away. And when I turned around to thank them, they were gone. Imagine that. So God stepped in and rescued me. So that's my story of faith. Thank you.
Thanks. So before you go all the way down there, Bob, want to give you a chance to, for those of you who have had something that you think I might have had an angelic encounter, like something has happened where you go, I have no explanation for this. I just know that God got me out of something. And you've got some story like that? Yeah.
It happens.
Miracles happen. Miracles happen. Bob, thanks so much for sharing your story. I want to invite up another Bob, Bob Tridle, to share a story of something that, well, just how God got a hold of his life and who God used to do that.
Thank you for allowing me to be here and for you to listen to my story. Anyway, last Sunday, the pastor issued cards and said right on there one word that since Christ came into your life, how it changed your life. And of course, I've been forgiven. But that was not the first word I thought about. The first word was a future. Christ gave me an everlasting future. And I want to start out by saying when I was a teenager, my folks lived in Omec, and they had an apple orchard. And how do you spell apple orchard? It's W-O-R-K, work. That's all it was to me, it was work, and I hated it. It seemed like we were just working all the time. There was nothing fun about it. So when I was 18, I had to get away from the orchard, and on my own, I joined the Navy, spent 4 years. And little did I know when I was in the Navy that I met a friend that happened to be from Cashmere, Washington. And he also had a sister and a friend that moved to Seattle. I had moved to Seattle to go to work for Boeing, and the man that we were rooming with was Ted. I don't remember his last name, but anyway, one of Jan's friends, or either Harlan's sister, called up and wanted Ted to know if Ted would take Jan out for a date. Well, it just so happened that Ted had to work that night, so they asked me. And about 2 minutes after I met Jan, I knew I was going to marry that gal. And we just celebrated our 60th last December. And But my story doesn't end there, because Jan was a Christian believer and I was not. So through many prayers by her and several congregations, I became a Christian, a follower of Jesus. And that was in 1987, in the summer of 87. And I was baptized there, and I wanted to know all about Christ. So we went to Bible school in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and then a year in Baker. And then we spent 13 years with a mission down in Florida. And I wouldn't trade one minute of it for anything. And Christ gave me an everlasting future. Thank you.
Amen. Well, Bob, before you step down, who here can relate to some part of Bob's story? Like, God brought a special person into your life, and that's how he got your attention. That's how you came to faith. See, look at that. Stories like this all around the room. That's right. God uses those special people. Special, like, yeah. We married up. Both of us did, right? Let's be honest. Okay. But God uses special people in our lives to lead us into closer relationship with him. Yeah. Thanks for sharing your story. I'd like to invite Patty Foster to come up. She's got a story of God touching and moving in her life, and hers is also a story of some healing as well. Incidentally, Patty's another part of our seniors ministry team. She's getting ready to start leading a Bible study at Avamere.
Yay!
Yay! Exactly. So
can I use that?
I can. Harold. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Here. All right.
Okay.
Do you want me to hold this for you? You got it.
No, I got
okay,
it.
You got
Thank
it.
Right. You.
Okay.
I'm probably way too loud. Okay, a lot of you know that I've been single for 26 years, and I've been dying to ask this question. Does this outfit make me look fat? And also, does that camera add 10 pounds? Okay, I'm a little different. I have to write things down. I've been known to forget what I'm saying in the process of saying, so I had to write this down. So a little background. My parents got divorced when I was 8. My mom was an abuser, self-explanatory. Tried to make friends at a new high school. Popular kids didn't like me. I was totally accepted by a cigarette and weed smoking group. I was really a wayward child. I met a guy, got married within 3 months, found out he was shooting cocaine. And, you know, we all know that bad company corrupts good character. So at that point, I was hook, line, and sinker. For 7 years, I shot cocaine and smoked pot and cigarettes. I thought I was going to live and die just like that. His mom was a Christian, and she prayed for us, and the neighborhood prayed for us, and they would come over, and they would talk to us, and it just fell on deaf ears. It was like, you know, don't waste your time. One day, on an all-night high, my ex called the 700 Club. They recommended a church in our area, and when we went, we knew that that church was special. Something was going to happen. So, the next week, we went there. And the worship was great. And after the worship, afterwards, the worship leader sat next to us. I don't know why, but I cried all through the service. Couldn't tell you what it was about. And he said to my ex-husband, he said, I really think the Holy Spirit is speaking to your wife. Would you like to speak to somebody about Jesus? And I said, yes, I do. And he spoke to us about Jesus and how he forgives. And we said the sinner's prayer, and we got saved. Come morning, there was something different, a relief, like a heavy burden was lifted. we didn't feel like getting high anymore. I delivered just like that. And it's been 38 years since then. Long story short, we got a divorce for biblical reasons. Of course, I got the two boys with me on my own, two boys, but I wasn't scared. God gave me the strength to work and raise them, and Jesus gave me the grace, mercy, and kindness that I needed. Did times get tough? Sure. But we never went without. It was like Moses in the desert. You know, our shoes lasted forever, our clothes lasted forever. I didn't have to spend a lot of money on them. And anyway, if you don't believe in prayer, I beg you to reconsider. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. Oh, okay. This church prayed me out of a coma. They prayed for me so much, God probably said, "All right, already, she's going to live." It's impossible to tell you that all that God has gotten me through or how many times he has blessed me. He's a friend like no other. So much easier to let God lead your life than to struggle to do it on your own way. Trust me, you're no match for God. I gave him all my worries and my thanks. He's heaped gobs of grace and mercy on my life. Every night I pray that he'll never leave me and that I'll never let go of him. And that's my story.
Thanks, Patty. So, hey, okay. Who here can relate to some part of Patty's story? Yeah.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, you can. Absolutely.
You know, during COVID, when I came out of...
Yeah, because what put you in a coma?
Yeah, the COVID. A COVID coma, I'm telling you. I didn't know I even could do that. I came out of the coma, and everyone's saying, "You've got COVID. You're okay. You're going to..." And I was like, you know, I don't know why, but I lost all my senses. While I was in recovery, I hallucinated. I thought I saw my dad there, and we talked, and I thought I saw this other guy who's my friend husband there, and we talked and had a really good time. Guess what? They were never there. And so what the staff saw was me talking to no one, so they probably thought it was bad. I lost my use of my legs. But with God and Kashmir Care Center and this church full of prayers, I'm here today.
Yeah. Yeah. Patty is absolutely a miracle story. Absolutely a miracle story. Okay. Make sure you can get down those. Yeah. These steps are kind of crazy. All right. Okay.
It was stumbling to my seat. I had a problem with.
So we've got at least one more story. Susan, would you come and share your God moment?
Knee replacement.
That's okay. Yeah, nothing wrong with coming up in careful ways.
The part I can relate to is talking to no one and realizing that, wait a minute, there's nobody left here. With Patty was saying, I've got a story that actually has two endings. One of them has to do with me, and one of them has to do with a client of mine. Let me start off by saying that I used to work for Child Protective Services as a caseworker and as an investigator. And one of my families that I was assigned was a family that had moved down from the reservation. When I say moved, I'm not really sure how they got here, but it was a single mother with six children, three girls, three boys. They were 1 year apart. The girls were 9, 10, and 11, and the boys were 12, 13, 14. And so when they got down here, their mom was seriously in need of drug and alcohol center training, whatever she needed to get in. I mean, they were homeless, all the things in that one song that we were just singing. I mean, it was kind of a helpless, hopeless situation. And to put on top of that, the kids had severe head lice. And let me tell you, if there's foster parents in this audience, I can't thank you enough. I mean, trying to place six children, and you're supposed to try to keep families together and try and envision how you do this. Well, we were able to place three of the children, with the girls, in Wenatchee, but then we weren't able to place the boys. Now, the boys wound up in Yakima. They came, Yakima offered their services, because down in Toppendish, there's a large Native American population. Anyway, the mom, I was calling around trying to find a place where she could go into treatment, and you try to keep the kids along with the parents close enough together so that they can have some visitation. Well, there was nothing in Wenatchee. We are a very busy community and with a number of problems, as you know. Anyway, I finally found a place in Yakima. And it was a place that ultimately, if you got someone into the treatment, if they should stay and move along, they're able to get their children with them at some point in time. Well, before any of this happened and I had to place the children, I said, her name was Marie. Marie, we want to help you try to be as close to family as you can. What's your family look like? And she said, everybody's an alcoholic. Everybody except my brother George. He was an alcoholic, but he got away. I haven't seen him in 6 years. I'd love to see him, but she didn't have the luxury of having a way to try to find him. No cell phone, no computer. Anyway, she went down to a place in Yakima. Maybe you've heard of Sundown. I actually want to put a plug in for him if anybody's ever looking for a place. Went into Sundown, and when she went in to meet with her counselor, she walked in, and who do you suppose the counselor was? It was George. It was George. I mean, an absolute 1 in 7 million chance, or more, whatever. And so, ultimately, the family was reunited. Everybody moved down to Yakima. They all wound up living in a home that was found for them. And, I mean, this was an absolute miracle. And I was so busy in my head and with all my cases that I didn't see what a God miracle this was. This had to be divine intervention. It just had to be. And I don't think I even saw it until maybe a week or so later. Marie called me, and she wanted to know if I was an angel. And I said, I didn't even get it. What do you mean? I was more like a taxi driver. But the fact that I didn't stop to even see what had happened here was yet another miracle in my book. And so that's one of my many stories with people that are in need. This one just stood out, and I thought I'd share it with you.
Thank you so much. Who here can relate to where it seems like God just showed up in some situation providentially? Like Susan said, like 1 in 7 million chance. Yeah, those kinds of stories of God just intervening in our life. Now, kind of before we transition into a song of worship, I wanted you to have a chance to you know, if there is a, you know, like last week I invited you to come and write a word. If you have a word or just a phrase that would describe something that God has done in your life, whether that is like Daryl's story of freedom from addiction or like Ailette's story of freedom from fear, but if you just have a story that you know, or a short phrase of what God has done in your life, will you just share that right now? And if you're online, just type it out right now, and one of our online pastors will be interacting with you. But what is, if somebody was to ask you, what has Jesus done in your life? What might you say? Healing. Grace. Forgiveness. I got a place to live, says Tammy. What else? Miracles. Purpose. Redemption. Strength. Say that again. Family. That's right. Hope. Say that again. Set apart. Set apart. Set apart. So, Lord, thank you for all these things that you've done in our lives. Thank you for the hope. Thank you for the redemption. Thank you for the family. God, thank you for setting us apart. Lord, may our lives respond to you. May praise and worship and adoration just flow out of our lives in response to your grace. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I was asking for some song requests, Lana Miller shared this song. This is probably a favorite song for many of us. It's a song that she used to sing at church with her grandma, and it's carried her through many hard seasons in life. Invite us to stand as we join together. I promise most of you will know it. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display, and sings my soul. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art.
redemption. Thank you for second chances. Thank you for healing. Thank you for freedom. He is so good. He is so good. Please have a seat. And I invite you to take out your, the communion elements that you probably received as you were coming into the room. In these, even in these basic elements, in the bread, in the juice, we see this powerful reminder of God's mercy and love and grace. That on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he would take bread, and giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples to eat, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It is given for you." And I should mention, if you want to receive some communion elements and you don't have them, would you just put your hand up? One of our amazing ushers will get that to you. I don't want anybody that wants to be a part to be left out. Okay. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me." And so as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. So I'm going to lead us in a short prayer, and then I want to invite you to serve the people around you, to look somebody in the eye, even if that's to look somebody in the eye across an aisleway or across a table, but to remind the people around you that these communion elements are a reminder of God's love, a tangible reminder of how much we matter to him. That's why he gets involved in our stories. That's why he shows up on mountaintops with unexpected help. That's why he brings people into our lives who will lead us to Christ, even when we have our backs turned to him. That's why we have these moments where you might be locked in addiction and Jesus shows you the way out, because he loves you that much. Lord, thank you that you love us that much. You gave your body, you shed your blood so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could be set free, so we could commune with the Father, so that we could be part of your family, not only here and now, but forever. Thank you for that gift. Thank you that you, Jesus, are changing people's lives. You're giving us a story to tell. Lord, meet us as we remember your faithfulness together. Amen. So I invite you to speak those words. This is Christ's body given for you. This is Christ's blood shed for you. Speak those words to someone as we remember his faithfulness together. Christ's body. Another worship's favorite. I know it's been one of the songs that God used as he was getting your attention and calling you to himself. Sing along with me if you know it.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Desire and I to worship.
Join together in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Invite us to say these words, speak these words out loud. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Paul.
Have a chair for just a moment, please. We'll do some closing announcements and a closing prayer. Membership class. If you've been around Columbia Grove for a while and you want to, as Andrew says, check underneath the hood. Just find out more about the Covenant denomination, Columbia Grove itself, or more about Andrew and I, about 5 minutes after the service. So you got time to grab a coffee and a goodie. Right outside those doors in the room we call the cafe room, we'll get started. It'll be about 90 minutes. So if we can get started pretty promptly, we'll get you out of here pretty promptly as well. Our meal for Thursday night is Hawaiian food night. So, like pokey pokey and, you know, sushi and all that stuff, right? Maybe not. Anyway, Hawaiian food night. Come at 5:30 for a meal. If you can't bring anything or just out of work, no problem. There's plenty of food. Connection groups will start at 6:30. Taking that one step further, last Thursday night, the people that were here said, we want to continue meals. So, we're going to entice you a little bit. So starting on the, if my math is right, the 10th of March through Lent, we're going to have a meal at 5:30. And then because of the licensing rights we have, we're going to show The Chosen on this big screen. So I would encourage you, come on down 5:30 for dinner. Great time, laugh, joke, have some incredibly good food. I've never seen all the Chosen. I've seen bits and pieces. I'm looking forward just to seeing that all run through. So, starting a week from Thursday, come on down. Just make it your normal habit on Thursday night. Come on down 5:30 for dinner. This Wednesday, in order to have Lent, well, I guess you got to start with Ash Wednesday. So, from 12 to 1 and from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock, Andrew and I will be under the portico with ashes. If you would like to come down and have ashes on your forehead for the start of Lent between 12 and 1 or between 5 and 6 on Wednesday afternoon, we'd love to see you. Just take a matter of a few seconds to do that, and you're on your way again. So come on down for that as well, for the blessing and the ashes. Immediately after the service, we get a few people to stick around. All these trees need to come down. We're going to start a new series on Jonah starting next week. We're going to redecorate the church so we can get some help getting these trees down. And Marcia Hahn over here will let you know where those trees are going to go. Let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, wow. We've heard some incredible testimonies this morning. Seven people came out of their comfort zone to share their story. And we want to thank each and every one of them for their courage. But I know online and in this building, there are more than seven people that have a story. Maybe you today need a miracle in your life. So right now, I would like to pray for everyone in the sound of my voice, whether that's here, online, this week, or maybe 2 years from now, listening to this worship service, for everyone who needs a Jesus miracle. Only God can do the impossible. He can make a way where there seems to be no way. Today I pray our Lord and Savior touches your health, your home, your family, your faith, and your finances. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Friends, have an incredible week ahead. God bless each and every one of you. Thanks for worshiping with us today. Always remember, love like Jesus. Depart in peace after you've helped take down some trees.
I see your hand like a paintbrush on the tundra. The waves of gold meet the ripples of the sea. Your instruction in the sand grains, in the salmon, as they migrate to the place you have them. Your